Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti, and this is a show where we read and teach God's Word, and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So welcome back to another awesome Sunday night. And I always want to start by reminding you that if you want to hear any past shows, especially because some of them kind of build on each other, there's a website, giftofgraceministries.org, where you can hear all the radio shows back to 2009. And that's a lot to listen to, but you could pick out a few. And also, since I'm advertising, I'd like to invite everyone to come out on Friday nights. It's every Friday night to my ministry called One in Messiah. We meet at 5994 Ridge Road, which is New Life Fellowship Church, at 6:15 p.m. And we have some praise and worship, and then I do a teaching connecting Old Testament, New Testament passages, and we'd love to have you come out. And tonight we're going to start, kind of a little series that has to do really with human senses. You know, you're all familiar with many places in the scriptures where vision and hearing are mentioned. You know, we're gonna get through some passages, but you can kind of remember in your mind Jesus himself saying, you know, you have eyes but you don't see, you have ears but you don't hear, or why don't you understand this, why don't you see this, why can't you understand what you're hearing, kind of thing. And it was also written in many places in the Old Testament where vision, and especially vision and hearing, but actually all the senses came into play during certain passages. And before we get into the actual passages, we have to keep in mind that when human beings were created, when man was created, we're created as a body-soul unity. And I imagine that if you're listening to this, you probably already know that. But we have part of us, which is our soul, which is eternal, lives forever from the time that it was created, which we believe is at the moment of conception, where your newly formed body, which at that point consists of one cell, is infused with a soul, which from that moment on never dies. It is eternal in the sense of from that moment on, it will live forever. Now, obviously, there was a time when we did not exist, and you can point to whatever day and year you were born and realize that 9 months before that, you did not exist until a certain moment. And the other part of our existence, of course, is our physical body. Our physical body is frail, is always degenerating, is always having problems. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, our physical body, as well as our spiritual soul, were profoundly affected by what happened that day in the Garden of Eden. Everything goes back to the garden. And so human beings were created as a body-soul unity. And part of the structure of the physical body, of course, are the five senses. And we know that. And the senses, we have to keep in mind, are how we interact with the environment around us, how we interact with the world, with other people, with the environment in general. And our senses give us information about what's going on in our surroundings, communicate that information to the brain, and the brain then processes these things, sorts out these things, makes sense of these things, and forms memories based on what your senses have experienced, as well as systems of thought where you can predict certain things that are going to happen based on the input that your brain gets by experience that the brain's already had. So it's, of course, unbelievably remarkable that no matter how old you are still influenced by inputs that came into your brain when you were 4 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old. And you don't have to sit and think very long before you realize that that's a true fact, and that I'm not a psychiatrist, but if you talk to psychiatrists, so much of psychiatry is based on the experiences you have in childhood and the interactions with your family members that happens during childhood. So these senses are how we experience the world, and then pathways in our brain are formed that try to make sense of what's going on in the world. And because we have these senses, and because we are a body soul unity, the senses are very important in how we interact with God and how we worship, how we think, how we pray, how we study his word. This is all related to our physical senses. And the biblical passages that I mentioned earlier, you can extrapolate that we also have, quote, spiritual senses, where we form understanding about spiritual things that we can't see, we can't touch, we can't hear, we can't feel, we can't taste, we can't smell. But our spiritual senses, in a sense, interact with the spiritual world, that we form concepts, thoughts, and beliefs based on that. And we, the example I always like to use is, most of us who have been raised in Christian churches and have always had a Bible, for example. I mean, as long as any of us have been alive, there's been a Bible somewhere. And we have to keep in mind that there was no written scripture until the people were in the wilderness. And before that, they had lived in Egypt for 425 or 435 years. And before that was the time of the patriarchs in the land of Canaan. And during that whole time, there was no written scripture. Yet, God interacted with Abraham. He interacted with Isaac. He interacted with Jacob in very profound, some physical manifestation of God was a voice. You know, and in Exodus 3, God points out that he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they had experience with the God of Israel, with Yahweh, that they could not see and could not experience on a regular basis, but experienced him in some physical way, that there was communication between him and them, to the sense where they knew they were to go in the land. They knew that they were going to have descendants. They knew that they were going to be a special people. And when the people ended up in Egypt, which, of course, as you know, and I hope you've studied at least a little bit of the Torah, you know that when they went to Egypt, Jacob was still alive, and that he lived for a while. I can't remember if it was 14 or 17 years after they got to Egypt. But during the whole time they were in Egypt, there was an oral tradition of the scripture, an oral tradition of the experience that the patriarchs had had with God, passed down from generation to generation. So there were quite a few generations that were born, raised, and died in Egypt, most of that time in slavery. But they knew about the true God. They knew about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew what his promises were. They knew that they were different than the other people. They knew that they were descended from one man and that God had chosen them for some purpose. And we know, of course, looking back at it, that the people had to form a biological basis for the Messiah. Jesus had to have a real physical body, which came from very definite biological descent from Abraham and from Isaac and from Jacob and from Judah, and then going down to King David and going from there. So the people formed the basis for the physical body of Messiah, and also, importantly, is that they were the only people that were connected to God by a covenant, which of course was a covenant of law, and they were to be the light to the Gentiles. And this was also a prefigurement of Messiah Jesus, Yeshua, because he would be the ultimate light, with a capital L, to the Gentiles, and Gentiles would come into the kingdom, like the prophet Isaiah said so many times. But these people learned about their special relationship, how they were formed, what their responsibilities were. By their physical senses, there was no written scripture yet. They watched how their parents, grandparents, lived their lives, worked in the world. Of course, they were slaves, but they watched how they interacted with others, watched how they prayed, and we don't know how they prayed. The scripture doesn't tell us what type of worship they did, and we don't know that either. But this had a long-term effect on the people while they were in Egypt. And this was, in some cases, 400 years before anything was written down. The books of Moses, the Torah, the Pentateuch, were written while the people were in the wilderness, as you know. And so with all these experiences, their spiritual nature was formed. And then when you think about it, you know, you look at even the, and we can't possibly talk about every passage where this is underlined, but when you think about the Passover, you know, the nine plagues and the tenth plague, which led to the Passover, imagine the sensory experience this would have been for the people to witness plagues that the Egyptians had, which they didn't have. Getting the Passover lamb, keeping the lamb, slaughtering the lamb, smearing the blood, cooking the lamb, making the unleavened bread, then seeing the Red Sea split, then being in the wilderness and seeing manna coming every day except Saturday, every day except the Shabbat. And this would have a profound experience. And as you know, they still rebelled all the time, but their spiritual development was based on all these physical things that then were happening, even before there was any scripture written. And this, of course, leads us to, in the book of Deuteronomy, which is definitely one of my favorite books, in chapter 6, starting at verse 4. At verse 4, you have the Shema, which means hear. It's hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So God is saying through Moses to the Israelites, listen to me, hear this. There's one God, and I'm He. And so all these things that affected their physical senses shaped their spirituality. And we can't possibly talk about all the things that happened in the wilderness, but when they were at the base of the mountain, the base of Mount Sinai, the whole mountain was shrouded in the Shekinah cloud, the glory cloud. There was thunder, there was lightning, there were shofar blasts. They knew that God was talking to Moses. They could see and hear all these things. And this was the critical part of their history when Moses came down the mountain with the law, 613 laws. You have to keep each one of them exactly in order to be perfect. If you violate one, you've violated them all. And when Moses reads the law, we're not going to talk about the golden calf. Now we'll talk about that some other time. But when Moses reads the law to the people after he had been 40 days on the mountain, the people said, we'll do whatever the Lord tells us. And so you remember Moses makes an altar with 12 pillars for the 12 tribes, and he sacrifices some animals and then sprinkles the people with the blood. And this is basically the blood of the covenant. So you can imagine the sensory input that would come if you had been standing there watching the sacrifice, the sights, the smell, the feel of it. And Moses saying, this blood seals the covenant. And we can look back to Jesus, to Yeshua, who is the mediator of the new covenant. The new covenant is also sealed in blood, but it's sealed in his blood. The first covenant sealed in animal blood. The new covenant, the covenant of grace, is sealed in Jesus' blood. It's blood with a capital B, which is of infinite power and infinite majesty and infinite sufficiency to forgive every sin. So we have not seen that. We did not see Jesus physically suffer, but our spiritual senses have grasped that, hopefully, and our brains have processed that into the idea that we believe this, and then we know that this is where our salvation comes from. So the idea of the physical senses then becoming spiritual senses are very important. And I want to just look back on a passage which is called The Road to Emmaus. And we've done, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, you know that my friend Steve Garchar and I did quite a few teachings from The Road to Emmaus. But you know, on the road to Emmaus, it was actually the late afternoon of Easter Sunday, of Resurrection Day. And you know, Jesus walks with these two disciples, and they're restrained from recognizing him. And as they're walking, and it's about a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So it could have been a 2.5-3 hour walk, walking at kind of a normal pace. But during that walk, it says that Jesus opened up the scriptures to them. And starting with Moses and the prophets, he explained everything that was about him. So in other words, he went through the Torah. That's Moses. The Torah is the books of the law. The first 5 books. In Greek, you sometimes refer to the Greek word Pentateuch, that means 5 scrolls, although the Torah scroll is always 1 scroll. So he goes through the Torah and shows how different things in there prefigure him, how they are types of what he has done and at this point is still doing. And then he goes through the prophets, it says. The writer, who's Luke in this case, tells us he goes through the Moses and the prophets. So as he goes through the prophets, he shows how each of the prophecies of the major prophets, the minor prophets, all are about him. And they were really excited by this. And if you recall the story, they don't want this to stop. When they get to Emmaus, when they get to the house where they were heading to, they didn't want this, what I call the most awesome Bible study in history, to end. So they invite him to come in. And they have another sensory experience where he assumes the seat of authority at their table. This is not his house. It's one of the other guy's houses. But he assumes the seat of authority and basically takes bread and breaks it like he had done at the Passover just 3 days before, and takes unleavened bread, because they would still have been in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, so they could only have unleavened bread around. So he breaks the bread. So they see this man who they haven't recognized yet, and he's sitting at the table, and he takes the bread. He says the blessing. Now, there's very definite blessings that are said in Hebrew over bread and over wine. And we're going to talk more about this as we get closer to Passover. And if you have the opportunity to go to a Messianic Passover Seder, please go. Because your whole New Testament life will be really reinforced and really expanded by what happens at the Last Supper, which was a Passover Seder, of course. And it was Yeshua, Jesus' last physical Passover on earth. So when he breaks the bread, they recognize him, which is pretty neat. So here's this everyday substance, this unleavened bread. They had had the Feast of Unleavened Bread for, we don't know how old these guys were, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And now when they see him break the bread, they recognize him. And, you know, the bread is a simple everyday substance. And Jesus refers to bread very commonly. You know, he calls himself the bread of life. He says, I'm the bread come down from heaven. He's born in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. So there's many things about him that are bread. And so in this breaking of the bread, they recognize him. And then they say, wow, weren't our hearts burning when he opened up the scriptures to us? Because as they learned what he had to say, they had whole new experiences this time in the presence of Jesus and full impact of the Holy Spirit, I guess you could say, this full impact of the Holy Spirit, who wrote those scriptures and set them up so that they were all about the Messiah. And then here was the Messiah himself explaining those words to them. And they said, weren't our hearts burning when we heard this? And rather than saying, well, we've had kind of a long weekend and maybe we'll just watch some TV and go to bed, they went running back to Jerusalem. So they did the 7 miles again. This time they ran back to Jerusalem, it says. They went to the upper room so they could tell the apostles and whoever else was up there at the time about this experience they had had. And the resurrection's already been confirmed by Peter and John and some of the others. But then Jesus comes there again, and it says he gives them another Bible study. And it says he goes through Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The Psalms are full of messianic prophecies, by the way. So in 2 days, they get this Bible study done twice, second one expanded, and with all this input of the sights and the sounds, and even the touch of having the bread, their whole spirituality has changed. And this is kind of an example of the physical senses and the spiritual senses. And, oh, wow, some music already. Wow, I got a lot more stuff to do. But anyway, so hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day, and I hope you've enjoyed this. And tune in again next week, where we'll continue reading and teaching God's Word and proclaiming the kingdom and Jesus the Messiah. Have a great week.